hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Welcome to church tonight. It is great to have you here with us to our Sunday evening service. Our Sunday evening service is, I think, a very exciting place to be. We love Sunday nights. Who loves coming out on a Sunday evening here to church? Yeah, we see ourselves as a community of disciples reaching the world. And what that means is, first, that we're community, that we're people who love spending time together. And more than that, going deeper, getting to know each other, actually going into the real parts of each other's lives. We're community. We're also disciples. We see ourselves as people who are fully under the leadership of Jesus. So every time we come here, we will sing songs about that. We will also read from the Word. We will stay focused on Jesus and what it means to live for Him and to follow Him. But we also see that there is this great mission that we have, and that's to reach the world. We see that we're here not just as a little commune who enjoy each other and kind of escape from what's going on, but God has given us this amazing mission of reaching the world. And so we want to encourage you, as you come to this expression of our church, we meet at St. Martin's C3, South City C3, Eastside C3, and there is an evening service at Eastside. Here is kind of a combination of South City and St. Martin's, but it's also its own thing as well. We see ourselves as that, and we'd love you to come on this journey. And as part of that, I've been praying this year, and I've been saying, God, what do you have for us as a service? What are we to be about for 2020? And the word that's come through crystal clear time and time again is this word equip. God says, what I want you to do as leaders of this service, I want you to equip my people. Equip my people to know me like they've never known me before. Equip my people so that when they're having those conversations, when they're in those moments, when they've got that time and someone says, so what'd you do this weekend? Or when someone says, hey, you're a Christian, why do you believe that stuff? That you feel equipped to step up and to not only face the difficulties of life and not only to know what your faith is, but to be able to explain it, to reach the world, to see others know Jesus too. And so I want to invite you to share. I want to invite you to come and be equipped. As we're here on a Sunday evening, that you would come, and as you come in, and the things that we talk about, the things that we do, the way that we give people opportunity for expression, that you would know who God has called you to be, and you'd step out in that like never before. Can I invite you to that?
Yeah.
Great. Fantastic. We're looking forward to this year. It's going to be an exciting year. But today we begin a new series, and in the message tonight, I want to talk about the similarities between many Christians, ex-cons, people who go to the gym, and kids learning to ride a bike. So if that sounds interesting to you, we'll explore this together. But I want to begin by asking a question, and the question is this: what are the key advantages of being a Christian? What are the key advantages of being a Christian? Take a moment, have a think about it. Key advantages of being a Christian. And then actually what I'll get you to do is maybe talk to the person next to you. What do you think are the key things that you get from following after Jesus, from being a Christian? All right, turn to the person next to you, see if you can come up with one or two. What is it that you get from being a Christian? All right, really quick straw poll. Shout them out. Does anyone have one? The person next to you obviously must have come up with a good idea.
Free ice flux.
Come to me, said Jesus. Shine TV. What else? Wow, we've set the bar high here tonight. Anything else from being a Christian? Eternal life. Freedom. Very good. Yes.
Just
being loved. Absolutely.
Knowing someone is so amazing.
That's excellent. Yeah.
Great community.
Excellent. Anything else?
Peace.
There is a lot of great answers there. And actually, one of the things we want to talk about tonight has come up already. And there's this verse in Galatians where Paul talks about this thing. See if you can find the missing word from the things that have already been mentioned. He says this in Galatians 5, verse 1. He says, it is for that Christ has set us free. Now, why has Christ set us free? What is the thing that he has set us free for? It's not ice blocks, and it's not Shine TV. Does anyone know what the word is? It's freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Well done, Izzy. There you go. You get an ice block. Oh, you already have one. Okay. It's a really big deal. It's a big phrase in understanding what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. It's talked about all through the New Testament. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 6, he says that he, Jesus, gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. John 8, 36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Galatians 5, 13 says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Great verse. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, for the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is... Yeah, there is freedom. That's, yeah, we sang it already tonight. Wasn't the band amazing tonight, by the way? Didn't you just love? Yeah, and I think that word, freedom, is what the band was drawing us into tonight. That we would dance, that we would sing, that we would clap, and that we would worship with a sense of freedom, like the chains have really been broken. Don't worry, I'm not going to join the team and ruin it all, but there is freedom. James 1, verse 25, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. And those who spoke of the wonder of what Jesus had done spent a lot of time camping out on this word. They said the key result from knowing Jesus is freedom. This is free. And that's what we've called this series. We're going to spend time focusing on what it looks like to fully experience Christian freedom. We'll spend time seeing how we can be released from the chains of self-interest, of sin, of shame, of self-righteousness, and be released to love. Because that's the measure of true freedom. But if it's so foundational, why is freedom not the thing that often comes to mind when we think of all the things God has done for us? Now, I want to make a suggestion to you tonight, and I don't want you to take it too personally, but I think it's true of many Christians, that the key reason we don't immediately think of freedom is because it's not a full reality for us. When we look at our lives, we notice that we're still bound to something. I lived in England for about 6 years, and while I was there, I got the chance to be involved in some restorative justice. Restorative justice is a program that goes on in many prisons. So as part of this, I got to go into a prison. It wasn't lower security, it wasn't top security, it was somewhere in between. Had to go through all these checks to be able to do it, had to go through lots of security to even get in. But I got to visit the place where the prisoners spent time, and it is a really grey scene. It's a small cell, there's no colour, there's nothing exciting about it. And they spend most of their time there. And then we heard from a number of the prisoners, a number of the people who had done things, and they shared about what they'd done and how they were trying to make amends for it. And as they shared, one thing that came through again and again was people who said, look, here I'm in prison and I'm bound, but what I'm most afraid of is when I leave prison. Because even though I've walked out these doors, in some ways I'm still in a prison cell. Ex-prisoners find it very hard to get a job. They find it very hard to travel. They find it very hard to be accepted again into society. And they said, and alongside that is the mental burden that we've had from what we've done and even from spending time in this place. And as we walk away, we're not truly free. And it can be the same for us. Before we knew Jesus, We were in a prison. We were slaves to sin. We did whatever we wanted, and we were condemned to spend eternity lost in our own self-interest. But when Jesus came, he freed us from all of that. Yet, sometimes it's not a reality we live in. We're not there yet. I remember the years after I left school being the most difficult for me. The hardest years I had were probably the years of 18 through to about 22, 23. I was a committed Christian, but there were areas that I knew were not the way they should be. I knew that there were still chains on me. I mean, I didn't defy God and go out and do the rebellious thing. There weren't sinful behaviors that you could look at and go, well, you're obviously bound up by that. But I knew that there were ways that I was thinking and ideas that were not from God. I knew that there were things going on for me. My problem was I didn't know how to live in freedom. And I'd go to the Bible to try and find encouragement, and I'd read verses like 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it says this. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone, a new life has begun. But instead of being encouraged, because that's an amazing verse, right? But instead of being encouraged, I became really discouraged because I didn't feel like that. I didn't feel like a new creation. I felt just the same. I still struggled with lust. I still struggled with a lot of self-doubt. I still struggled to believe that God could have a purpose for me. I loved Jesus, and I wanted to live for him, but I struggled to know how. It was probably the biggest crisis of faith I've had so far in my life. I had thoughts of, is this God thing really true? Because it doesn't seem to be working in my life. It became a big deal for me. You know, I've never really doubted God's existence. Suffering has made me question God's goodness. Science hasn't explained away my faith. But this really shook me. My biggest doubt as to the authenticity of the gospel was not something outside the faith, but was my own inability to change, the thoughts that I had, and the fact that I still thought in ways that weren't good. Was I saved? Yes, absolutely, I was saved. Was I free? No. And I have a feeling I'm not alone. We love 2 Corinthians 5:17 and we nod in agreement and say, yeah, I hope that's true. But actually, experientially, I don't see myself as always being free. We're still slaves to the same habits and sin that plagued us in our pre-Christian days. There's no victory over sin. There's little joy. And it seems like we either have to give up completely and go, it's all hocus. It doesn't work. Or some people go to the other extreme and just embrace their faults, embrace those wrong ways of thinking and say, well, nobody's perfect. I guess this is just me. For me, as I was in that time, there was one thing that I know got me through. And that was that I had a really strong awareness of God's grace. I felt wrapped up in his arms. I knew that the way that I was thinking, the things that I was struggling with, weren't quite what God wanted for me. But I knew that in spite of that God still had me. I could not escape from his love. I could not escape from his goodness. That would never leave me. And that's what really helped me get through that time. But I also knew he wanted to bring me freedom. And we had that scripture before. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. And it's quite a clunky phrase, isn't it? It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. And what it tells us is that there are actually two sides to this freedom journey. The first is when you're set free. And then the second one is when you discover what it means to live in freedom. And I think over the years, I've discovered what freedom really means. There are two powerful things that God has let me see that I think can help each of us. The first is this, is that freedom is both a miracle and a process. A miracle and a process. And I've been trying to think all week of the best images I could find, the best metaphors for what I mean by this. And I've come up with three. The first image is a sunrise. See, the truth is, I've never been up early enough to watch a sunrise. But I have YouTube, so I have seen some sunrises. And the transition from day to night is never instant. And for some of us, this journey to freedom is a little bit like this. All we see at the start is some light on the horizon. Then comes the glorious moment when the sun breaks through and light begins to invade the land. But it's still cold. We need to wait until that sun is fully through before we feel the warmth it brings. So it is with our journey to freedom. We've been transformed by God, but we're still going through the process to see His light shine on us and warm our lives. The second image is the changing of the season. Have you ever noticed that sometimes a season seems to change all at once, but at the same time, not at all? Like when the daffodils come out. And in this spring in particular, in August, the daffodils seem to come out really, really early. But then it seemed to be cold and wintry until about November, right? It was this weird thing where the seasons didn't quite know what they were doing. I think this is a little bit like the process of freedom for many Christians. They become a Christian and it feels like everything has changed. But at the same time, there's signs of it. But at the same time, it feels like nothing has changed. That's how it feels. The final image is of someone who goes to the gym and tries really hard to build muscle. My older brother went to the gym all the time, and one time I dropped in to pick him up with my parents, of picking him up, dropping him home. I was talking to the guys in the gym, and I went, hey, if I join the gym, how long is it going to take me to grow muscles like this guy? How long is it going to take me before I'll see any change? And the guy at the gym went, well, probably at least a month or two. And I went, well, flag that. 2 months? 2 months before you see any change? No. If that's the process, I'm out. I can't be bothered doing this. Can you tell? And I never went back. I never went back to that gym. And I think this is a great image for what it takes to have freedom. Because it's not something that just happens like a sunrise or just happens like a season change. There is a miraculous aspect to it, where it begins by the grace of God and His goodness in our lives. But as we invest in the process, then we begin to see real change. So my first great understanding is that freedom is a process, and I hope that's helpful for you tonight. That wherever you're at on the journey, whether you see it all happening or not, it is a process. You need to be patient with it, where you're not likely to see the change as it's happening. But here's the amazing thing, is that you will look back and you will see the change. Like a before and after photo. You will actually, and I challenge you to do this week. Have a look at some areas. Think back to some areas you struggled with 3 or 4 years ago. And if you've been invested on the journey with God, I bet you can see how those things have changed. Invest in that process. And summer, you still get days that feel like winter. Not today. In our lives, we still have times that remind us that we're not fully free. There is more to be done, but we are changing, bit by bit, piece by piece. So my first understanding was that it's a process. My second great understanding was what this process looks like. Now you go to the gym and you lift the weights and you build the muscle. Well, what does that look like for a Christian? How do you find freedom in your life? God began to show me what freedom is and how we can get it. In John chapter 8, Jesus is talking about what it looks like to be a follower of His, and He says this. This is remarkable. Jesus said to the people who believed in Him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings." John 8:32, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth will set you free. Now let's take a moment. It's a well-known verse, but let's take a moment to look at what Jesus is really saying, what He's identifying here. He is telling us that truth, in particular His truth, has tremendous power in our lives. If we stand on the side of truth, then we will experience freedom. So the process of getting freedom is the process of filling your life with truth. This is what renewing your mind is all about. And I would say this, the extent to which you are free is the extent to which you have embraced truth in your life. The extent to which you are free is the extent to which you have embraced truth in your life. Charles Stanley says it this way. He says, truth and freedom are constant companions. Where you find one, you will always find the other. Freedom in any area of life comes from discovering the truth about it. And discovering truth in a particular area always results in freedom of some kind. And if it's the truth that sets you free, then what binds you? It's the lie. It's the lie. And if you read the rest of John 8, you will see that Jesus is talking to people and he's pitting the forces of the liar, the great liar, against himself as the bringer of truth. And he's saying, are you going to believe the lie in your life? Or are you going to hold on to that which is true? And so the road to freedom is the road to confronting and replacing lies with truth. In any area that you struggle, I guarantee, any area that you struggle, you could come and sit down and say, oh, I'm struggling with this at the moment. And if we dig back the layers a little bit, we will find lying underneath that a lie, a big fat lie from the devil. And it will be speaking into your life, and that will be keeping you from being free. It will be keeping you in bondage. And so the journey for us is the process of finding out, what lies am I believing? And choosing not to believe those lies anymore. And instead, finding the truth of God through Jesus and having that at the central place in our life. Those voices that say that we're not good enough. The ones that tell you that you will be alone forever. The ones that tell you you are less of a person because you're not like this person or that person. The ones that tell you that no one accepts you, that no one likes you, are lies. And those lies will bind your life as long as you believe them. And they will stop you from being free. And so the journey for you and the journey for me is to find where those lies are. And to begin to replace them with the truth. For me, freedom from my self-doubt came as I acknowledged the truth that was my strength was found not in my ability, but in God's love for me and His goodness in my life. Lust diminished as I saw that I was looking for a counterfeit of true intimacy in my relationships. And the belief that cheap sex in any form, whether it be through looking at something or through acting out something, was a cheap escape from my problems. When truth shone on these areas, they lost their hold on me. And now I can see those lies for what they are, and I choose not to embrace them anymore. I saw the power of lies and truth during the school holidays when I was teaching my daughter to ride her bike. I love my daughter. She's amazing. Not the palindrome, the other one. I actually love the palindrome too. She's cool. But my daughter, unfortunately, and I don't know where this came from, it's probably my fault, often believes a lie. Her lie that just seems to be embedded in her brain is, if I can't do it perfect, then I'm a failure. And that just is something she seems to have faced. So she doesn't like to lose, really doesn't like to lose. And if something is difficult, then it takes her a lot of effort to persevere. And she worked really hard on learning to ride her bike. And there were moments of tears and a lot of frustration. And that was mainly from me, but also from her. But probably my proudest moment was when she was learning to get the bike started by herself. She could stay up on it just fine, but you've got to actually start the bike yourself. You can't have your dad hold you forever while you're learning to ride. So she had to try and get up, and she was struggling with it. And then she just started saying this, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And she still struggled, and she still struggled, and she persevered. And when I talked to her about learning to ride her bike, it wasn't a proudness over what she'd achieved. It was a proudness over that moment. I love how you said you can do it, because you put the truth in your head. You replace the lie that says, if I'm not perfect and I can't do this, then I'm no good. I'm not a proper person. Instead, you replaced it with a truth, which was, I can do this. And you put your mind to it, and you persevered. And I was so proud of her in that moment. It gave her the strength to persevere. And then there was this other great moment. Finally, she could nearly do it all. She could get up. She learned to do it. She could get up on the bike by herself. She could ride in a straight line. But I'd given her this challenge. I said, look, if you go to the Hillview Senior Side and you ride around that basketball court, get up on the bike by yourself and ride around twice by yourself, I will take you to the movies. That's your reward. We've got a good carrot hanging out there in front of her. And she could go straight, but she tried to turn and she just couldn't do it. So she'd stop the bike, she'd turn it around, and she'd come the other way. I said, look, you've got to learn how to turn corners. And it was a hot day, a little bit like this one. And so I just went and sat down in one of the practice cricket wickets. And she jumped on her bike, and she biked around to the other cricket wicket adjacent to mine and said, Dad, this is your fault. It's too hard. You've given me a task that's too hard. I cannot turn corners. And I did what every good parent should do in that moment. I laughed at her. I said to her, do you realize that you just got on your bike, came from this practice wicket, turned the corner to the second practice wicket to tell me that you can't turn corners? You turned a corner to tell me you couldn't turn corners. And there was this great moment where the light went on in her eyes and she went, oh, I can turn corners. She replaced the lie with the truth. And within 5 minutes, okay, Dad, I'm ready now. And she did two laps. And now she's free. She's not bound up anymore by this thought that says, I can't do this. She's not bound up anymore by saying, I'm not able to ride a bike. We've said to her, look, you've conquered it. You can ride a bike. And now that's all she wants to do. Hey, what should we do today? Let's go ride my bike. And so we're riding around Hanson Park, and we're riding around different places, and we've even taken her on the road a little bit. And she is completely free. And it can be the same for us. There are areas of our lives where we go, I can't be free from that anger. I can't be free from that feeling. I can't be free from that habit. I can't be free from that anxiety. And it's a process, and we need good people to help us. But when we replace the lie with the truth, then we can be free. The truth will set you free. If I'm honest, there are still things that bind me up. There are still areas in which I'm not completely free. But I can look back now. I can look back and I can see, man, I am so much more of a new creation. The new creation that Jesus promised, that's what I see in my life. I can see the sun rising. I can feel the warmth on me. I can know that even though I have my days, we all have our days, where it feels more like winter than summer, that the season is continuing to change. I can see what God is doing. And it's a process worth persevering in. We need to invest in the process. Invest in the process. Because you know what? If we don't, we can stop the sunrise. We can stop the season change. We need to keep on going in God's truth for us.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.